As the offering goes around, it's a real privilege for me to have Nicholas Howard here this morning for all of us, really. Nicholas has been here before. I think first time you were here, I was away. I don't know, I think I must have been in Singapore or somewhere. And then I only met Nicholas when my family and I were visiting California, and we caught up with Nick at a coffee shop there in Redding, and I'd already heard so much good stuff about Nicholas, and it was just a delight to see that he's a passionate, anointed man of God, humble in every aspect, and a transparent vessel for the goodness of God and seeking more and more. He's done some time at Bethel and interning there as well, but now he's in Southern California, Laguna Niguel, yeah? Counseling profoundly, wonderfully. And, I'm going to step out on a limb here and say if anybody would like something special, get in touch with Nicholas after the service. Maybe you can find yourself alone in the room with him and just allow the Lord to minister to you. But, you know, we'll let the Lord arrange that and maneuver that. But it's a real privilege that we have to have Nicholas here with us today. He's also going to be ministering next Sunday night, all right? But it felt good to us to also give him this morning. So we welcome our brother this morning, guys. Come on. Yo, come on.
Check one. Yep. Can you hear me way back there? How about right here?
Yeah, we're good.
Perfect. Good morning. So good to see some of my friends. Hey, Evie. Love you guys. The Bakers. I don't know who else is here. I know your face. Yeah. Thanks, Joel. And I don't know where Jenny's at. Sunday school. Thanks, Jenny, and Sunday school. I'm going to start with a testimony just because, hey, Jess. Hey. I'm going to start with a testimony because this one is still really exploding my brain, and I have to put it back every day. I was speaking at a home group in San Diego just in the beginning of May. And I was talking to him about the value of prophecy and why we prophesy. And it was a group that's been meeting for 30 years, and the age was like 45 and up, all the way to like 85. This guy was awesome, the 85-year-old guy. He was awesome. He was a boss, for sure. He was awesome. And I got words for everybody. Thank Holy Spirit. That was awesome. And I was looking at this one lady, and her name is Margarita. I knew you guys would like that. And I'm looking at her hands. Prophecy is just amazing, just because, flip, every time you come out, it's out of your mouth, it's brand new, and you never know what it's like, almost, not really a lottery, but you just know that something genius is about to come out of your mouth because the genius man's inside you, right? And so I'm you can see people by the Spirit. It's definitely very legal. I highly advise you to try it. It's 2 Corinthians 5:16. And seeing people by the Spirit is just far more enjoyable than the natural. Not that they're ugly in the natural. They're just very metaphoric and symbolic in the Spirit. So when I see someone's hands that look like Chewbacca, I got my attention. Chewbacca, Star Wars. Yeah, I'm not going to do the sound, sorry. Emma, do you want to do the sound? So her hands were really hairy. Chewbacca, right. You guys are looking at me like you never heard this before. I know it's not an American thing. And really hairy. So I was just looking at her hands, and I just said, show me your hands, because I don't know why they're so hairy. They're not hairy in the... I'm hoping I'm not losing you guys already. So she goes like this, and I see wigs, heads of hair, dropping out of her hands. Not heads with hair on them. Piling up. It was just hair, like Persian hair and red hair and permy hair and black hair and white hair and gray hair and thick hair and fine hair, and they're just wigs everywhere on her feet. This, because I'm just staring at her feet, and they're a little bit freaked out, and I said, you have heads of hair coming out of your hands. And naturally she freaked, and she's like, where? And when I said that, I saw her rubbing her hands over bald people, But these people had lost their hair from chemotherapy, from cancer and anything else you take chemo for. And I saw her like going like this over both men and women and kids, and their hair would grow back. And I go, what's additionally amazing is that when you do that, you're actually wiping off the title that says, I'm a cancer survivor. Like, I beat cancer. So that they don't have to live through the filter of that false title. So they don't live life through that understanding. They live life through the fact that they're a daughter and they're a son. Period. Because we're never going to be our sickness. And we're never going to be our past. It's really good, Nicholas. It's really good. We're never going to be our mistake. And we're never going to be a title other than your name and a daughter and a son, and that's it. So I'm telling her this, and there's a stir in the room. And the guy who's running the group, he's from the Bronx, New York. Awesome. I love that accent. Very, very in your face, too, by the way. And her right hand, I said, you'll be doing that, and you'll be wiping off a title. And her right hand is shaking very, very fast. So I'm very, very, like, fascinated at what's about to happen. And she is reaching over to her head, and she grabs what I thought was her actual, this is her hair. I thought it was her hair. And she's shaking, and she grabs, and she pulls off her wig. And a full head of hair is growing on her head. And she says, I am a cancer survivor. She just got healed 3 weeks ago. Because this guy, John Pacilio, he does a healing class. And she got healed at this class. She says, I'm a cancer survivor. She goes, hold on. Nope, I'm a daughter. And she swallows her word right then and there. And I'm like going, oh my gosh. And I look at John, who the New Yorker guy, goes, yeah, how you like them apples, eh? Forget about it. You know, it's like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. So how awesome. That's a genius, genius testimony. Praise God. Come on. Doesn't that just like mess you up? I'm like looking at this hair like wanting to touch it because I'm like, for real? Like instant grow, miracle grow. It's amazing. And so since then, she's actually looking for cancer patients and she's looking to go like that. And so we'll see. It was just recently, so I haven't touched base with them. What do I have? Oh my, okay, let's go. Today we're going to talk about honoring your heart. And we're going to talk about what do you do when you get triggered. Triggered when you start the shutdown sequence. When you feel a threat between a relationship or in a conversation. And I'm going to show you how to navigate your triggers in your heart and why shutting down your heart is actually not what it's designed to do. Some of you guys don't know my little bit of background, so I'll give like a brief synopsis. I got saved when I was 8, started speaking in tongues around 12, started getting into the prophetic around 19, and I ran into a thing called forgiveness at 23. Have you guys ever met that person? Yeah, he's awesome, right? How I ran into forgiveness was I was 23 years old, just fresh out of boot camp for the Marine Corps, and I was full of rage. I've been saved since a boy and loving Jesus, but I was full of rage because I had a father who was very abusive alcoholically. And I had two sisters and a mom, so I just got a lot of practice being around women. I'll just say, their cycles did not match. They just rotated all throughout the week. So I got freedom 1 week and then 3 weeks of training. Oh, the Lord, the things that I saw. I'm going to be an amazing husband, let me tell you. Holy heaven. And I felt really stuck, and I did not have language. I didn't know what character was. I didn't know what healthiness looked like. I was full of rage, and so I was like, there's this thing called the healing rooms, and I go there because I heard people are getting healed of all kinds of things, and this is when it was just a little bit of few rooms in San Diego. There wasn't that many like there is now. And this guy, this is the third time I go, and you guys are, I'm sure, familiar with healing rooms. You go and you fill out the form, and this one you have to stand against a white wall like this, so I felt very intimidated because you have to stand like this, and they're over there in their little corner, like whispering like about your paper. So I just like was crapping my pants. I'm like, I don't know what they're seeing. Like, oh yeah, oh, do you see it? Like this. And this guy, he comes up to me, and I kid you not, he looks like the guy in all the Jesus films. I don't even think he walked up to me. I just remember seeing his legs. He like just glided like this and floated, and he was like, oh, you know, he was being carried by the wind of heaven or something. I don't know. And I'm just looking at him and his big, bright ocean eyes, and his beard was the most organic beard I've ever seen in my life. And this beard, I was ready for it to hug me because it was just moving, and it was like, welcome, my child, welcome. Oh my gosh. And his skin was like the most organic skin I've ever seen. It was bronze and gold, and like the sun just was just caressing its face against his face. And I just felt like, how do I get that, man? What did you take? And he looks at me and he says, Nicholas, hey, today we're going to pray with our eyes open. And I've always been taught you have to bow your head, close your eyes, and put your antenna up, right? And when you want really good reception, you squint really hard. And you make the weird noises like, oh, God. Like, that's how I was raised. So I thought that's how you do it. And so I looked at him, and I was trying not the other people to hear me. And I just was like, is that even legal? Are you allowed to do that? And he's like, yeah, man, we're going to pray with your eyes open. I need to see your soul. And I'm like, I don't know if I want you to see that. He said, hey, today I'm going to take the place of your dad. That nicely set in right there. That was good. I'm going to take the place of your father. Now, up until this point, I was greatly fine, totally sorted with the name of God. I was cool with Jesus. I liked Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whichever you prefer. But the word father was a curse word to me, far more stronger than the F word. It was a better, more intense F word for me. It was right next to the word friend. I didn't really like that one either. Nobody can relate to this, right? So I'll just talk to you. Right. So he says the word father, and what happens to me is I start to clench my right fist like this. It was an instant reaction. I just went right by my side. And he's looking at me, and now he starts to say things that the little boy inside me has been wishing and hoping and praying and hoping and wishing and begging and wondering and crying himself to sleep every single night. Will his dad just come up and apologize for the things that he's been doing to him, for abusing him and his family, and seeing my mom completely thrashed and seeing my sisters completely empty inside? Why is he telling me to say sorry and he's not saying sorry? Why is he not being like the man that he's demanding I be? And by the way, I cultivated this lens and I started looking at God the same way. I'm cool with calling you God. I'm not going to call you dad because that makes it personal and I have an issue with that. I know what the word dad is and he's not fun. Keeping it PG in here. I use other words, so... So he says, I'm going to take the place of your father, and Nicholas, I am so sorry. And my right hand clenches like this, and my body goes to attention like this, and I've already agreed to him. My eyes are going to stay open. I don't want to look at him. I am triggering. And he starts to say, you are not a bad son. You are an amazing son. It is my fault. And here comes the list. I did this to you. He's like plucking me prophetically. He is seeing stuff that I've never told anybody. And that time when I did this, and that time, like, listen, your prophetic gift is flipping amazing what it can do, especially in the realm of healing. You can restore a soul within one conversation. It is awesome. And he's going like this, and I am feeling every single nerve all team up to my right fist. And I have now military training, and I can send his head to Italy if I want to. Express mail, flight, no baggage check-in, no customs check-in. It'll land just right. I will knock it off, man. And I'm like this, and I'm feeling a hand hold my hand, and it's not his hand. And I'm freaking out about that, and I'm like this because still parts of me is really attracted to his beard. So I'm like still looking like that. And it's, I don't know what's happening. And I'm just mesmerized and really upset at the same time. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I just have to sit here and listen. And he goes down for 15 minutes. And he says, I am so sorry. But will you forgive me, please? And I can't speak because everything in me wants to kill him. And other parts of me are like arguing, like, look at his beard, man. It's amazing. So I felt like a schizo inside. Finally, I feel another hand, not his hand, I feel another hand squeeze my belly, and I say, yes, like this, and I broke and I cried for 3 days straight. Come on, Jesus, right? Come on, Jesus. Listen, we're about to get free today in places that you've been like really crying out for. Like it's going to happen today. Like today's an amazing day. Like this is the day the Lord has made, not the demonic. He wrote it, not the enemy. It's on. It's on today. And so I cry for 3 days straight, and I go to Bethel because I don't know why I believe what I believe. I'm seeing gold dust. I'm seeing gemstones. Angels are talking to me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I believe what I believe. This is just great. I can only talk to a little bit about people without them looking at me like this. And so I go to the cult of Bethel, you know. Joking. Totally joking, by the way. We have Kool-Aid only on Fridays, okay? Look at everybody went like this. And I find out just why I believe what I believe. And in the midst of that, I learn the mechanics of the heart with the Holy Spirit. And it is a journey that I'm on right now into where I'm actually not saying God is not God. I don't have that conversation. That's like way down there, right below the conversation I had that we looked both ways before we crossed the street. Like, I get it. He's God. But I'm running through my system right now, everything I know about God and just calling him dad. I'm calling him my best friend. I'm calling him my lover. And all the names he holds, he says to be that he's actually assumed responsibility for. I'm your provider. Oh, okay. I'm your healer. Perfect. Oh, I'm your counselor. Here's the thing. I think one of the reasons why some of us, most of us, to different degrees, more or less, are not experiencing heaven on earth is because we don't understand how our hearts navigate with the Holy Spirit. And it's nobody's fault. And I'm not like blaming teaching. I'm not here to like to blame anybody. Like, I don't really care. I don't care about like who didn't taught what. There's no blame. I am interested at the understanding that's in front of us right now with the Holy Spirit, because here's the thing. You have a lion inside of you that is jealous for its pride, and he is constantly running around chasing anything that does not need to be there, and he's kicking it out. I would propose to you, you're not being attacked as much, if barely at all, that you are having your prayers answered. That you are having your prophetic word orbiting around your body going, I want to become flesh. I want to become flesh. I want to become flesh. Get me in your armpit. Get me in your lips. Get me on your tongue. I want to become you. I want to become you. And it's disturbing any other belief that's in there that does not need to be there. So good, Nicholas. Oh my gosh, it's so good. To show you that I'm not making this all up, let me just read the Bible. Romans 12:1. Okay, well, I'll just read it. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. Which is your reasonable, rational, intelligence, service, and spiritual worship? That word fascinates me. It didn't say natural, it said spiritual. Another verse that I'm going to link this to is 2 Corinthians 2:15. And it says this, "For we are a sweet fragrance of Christ unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Listen, you're going to burn. You can't help but being on fire. You're a living sacrifice. You're the unto God. You're a living sacrifice. And in sacrifices, when you burn something, there's a fragrance that goes off. You guys remember in the Old Testament, there was a sweet fragrance, or it was also kind of nasty? You're going to attract what you believe. You're going to attract what you believe. And spiritual warfare isn't so much a random lottery slot, that like a roulette of the day. It's actually tailored to the fragrance you're giving off. In addition to your calling, in addition to your purpose, in addition to your reason, in addition to the anointing, in addition, you actually can attract the very thing based off of a belief in your heart. Okay, we see this. I'll just break it down. We see this. I have two younger sisters. I saw them attracting the same type of guy over and over and over again. No matter what they did, no matter how they met him or where he was at, it was the same type of guy every time. Nice in the beginning, thrashes them at the end. Have you guys had the same thing happen to your family, or the same thing just come around you over and over and over, and you're like, what the heck is this? I would propose to you that there is an ascent that you're giving off, and lies with wings are flies. And flies love caca, poop. Lies love the innocent smell of Jesus that's on you as well. But lies are not that powerful, so they go to a very quick source, and they go where poop's at. It's where we get the phrase like stinking thinking. Cliche, I know. When you're not experiencing peace, when you're not experiencing joy, when you're not experiencing the reality that's within you right now with Jesus, I'd be first to ask you, like, what do you believe about this subject? And I would tell you that I reckon that there's renewal slips being handed out to you every day more than you're actually getting attacked. And I wonder if when you're feeling fear, and when you're feeling disgrace, and when you're feeling ashamed, and when you're feeling blocked, I wonder on the outside, depending on the scenario of how you're experiencing that reality that you're in right now, I wonder if the Father inside you is going like this. On the inside going, hey, I want to get in here and I want to rearrange it and show you how glorious you are. Yeah? No? So I want to hang out on two things with a combination of just bad theology that actually will stop you from experiencing the freedom of God already with inside you. Because when we grow up, when we get dishonored and rejection plays a toll on us, we start to communicate to us that, oh, something must be wrong with me. Or I must not be lovable, so I better perform to go get love. I better overserve, and I better overdo things and do things that are not inside of my heart just so I can get accepted. Does this make sense, I guess? You guys good? Some of this is going to be review. Here's two things that would be like a block that would stop you from, one, hearing the Father, two, knowing how to navigate your dreams, three, it would temporarily with withhold the voice and the authority that you carry? The two things are unforgiveness and judgment. Unforgiveness and judgment. Like, quick refresher, forgiveness doesn't get them off the hook. It gets the hook out of you. When I forgive somebody, I actually don't have to be go besties with them. I don't have to be buddy-buddy. I can promote them from friend to enemy if I want to. They can get promoted to acquaintance. If it's safer for me to keep my love on for them and they need to be removed from my heart, I can promote them outside for the sake of that season or that time frame so that I can actually keep my commandment with the Father and love my neighbor as my what? Self. It's very difficult to love your neighbor when you're not loving yourself. It's actually almost impossible to love your neighbor properly if you're not loving yourself. So when I forgive them, I release them, they don't owe me anything. And the second thing is judgments. It's not like saying, that's good water or that's bad water. It's basically saying, hey, I'll never be like my mom. Felt that one. I'll never be like my dad. Oh my gosh, I'll never trust this person again. I was counseling somebody in Arizona. Two of her four kids were murdered in the last five and a half years. Separately. One was a racial stab that she watched. It punctured her son's heart, and she watched her son die in her arms because the ambulance didn't come fast enough. And the second one was a kidnapping, and I just won't explain that one, but you get it. Found the body. That's what it was. She has two other kids. She's 47 years old, and she's popping out 3 to 5 kidney stones a month. She's in high fight or flight, and her basic functionality of a baby, of eating, sleeping, and using the restroom, that's all she's doing. She can't relate. She can't function. She's moved from a city into a rural area in Arizona because the noise irritates her. She's made up of spirit, soul, and body, and when one third is not being loved, the other two thirds are going to tell you about it. You're actually only designed to eat love. That's why everything else gives you a headache and a stomach ache and makes you want to throw it up. You're only designed to eat love. That's why everything that you eat, rejection, fear, lies, confusion, they don't work inside your system. So when we think we have to actually go do something to get God's affection, I wonder if we actually just need a drink because we're dehydrated in love. Or we're just malnourished and we missed our afternoon lunch. We just need to eat. So she sits down and she tells me her story, and I'm really excited because I've seen stuff. This is actually the worst case, and I love really, really intense cases because I just know I'm too convinced inside my soul and my spirit that something amazing is about to happen because Jesus paid for it. So you know what the that's right. Please can clap. Yep. So you know what the slogan that Holy Spirit taught me with anything that you're stuck with God, it's this. It's an easy fix. So she sits down and she's like, my marriage is on the line. I want to kill myself. I'm tormented every night. I see demons. I'm popping out 3 to 5 kidney stones a month. I'm overprotective of my kids. And I don't see a purpose to live anymore. You're my last resort. No pressure at all, right? In which I go like, I'm like this. I'm really happy. And she's looking at me really weird. And that's fine, because I want to disturb the things that are inside her. They don't need to be there. And so I'm looking at her, and she tells her story of what happened to her kids so that she feels safe. Women, it's very, very important for you to feel safe and covered if you ever want your heart to open up fully. FYI, men. Men, it's really important for you that you feel honored and respected so that you can have your heart open. It's just the way you're designed. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. And Christ does this to the church. Covers her so she can go. So she tells her story, and I said, hey, so you got a bunch of anxiety? She's like, yep. And I'm like, how long have you had it? And she's like, all my life. And I'm like, okay, great. And I said, when did it start? She goes, I don't know. I said, give me a guess. And she's not going to be guessing anymore. Your heart is actually going to tattletale on you when it wants to be free. So she goes, I don't know, 4. And I'm like, great age. What happened at 4? She tells me what happens at 4. A lot of verbal abuse from the aunt and the mom. And I said, all right, who else is on your list of pain? Who else caused you pain? My mom's 3rd husband when she was 10 years old. He sexually molested me, okay? What's his name? I forgot his name. We're just going to say Gary. And I forgot her name. We're going to say Mary. Gary and Mary. Mary is the person getting counseled. Gary is the person who molested. And at age 14, Gary tells Mary, I only married your mom to get close to you. Woo! Stack it up, baby. Oh, man. So naturally, as she's telling this stuff, she's manifesting, right? She's reacting. Her stuff's coming up. And all that stuff that she buried in her heart, that your heart's never designed to shut down, it's now opening back up. So she's already getting free. So I asked her, has she ever forgiven anybody? She said, no. I said, okay, have you ever said this about your mom and all the other dads? She's like, yep. And I said, hey, when you judge, you're going to get judged. It's in Matthew 7. You actually reap the very thing that you judged because judgment happened on the cross. So we don't judge anymore. These are all really easy to get rid of. And so I said, all right, we're going to do like 15 minutes of prayer, and here's what you will not walk out of here tonight or today. You will not walk out of this with this place with anxiety. I'm going to confiscate it, and I'm going to give it to the man who's actually, it's his. It's been buried, and we didn't need to resurrect it. You're not going to walk out of here with pain, and you will walk out of here being powerful, knowing how to hear the Father, and knowing how to be an amazing woman that you're designed to be. Deal? Naturally, she said yes. So I walked her through it, and so she's forgiving mom, she forgives auntie, and we're doing good. We're smooth sailing. We get up to Gary. I have 2 other women watching me, a host mom and her friend. They want to learn how to do this. I told them, because you're moms and grandmoms, you're going to hear about this story, and you're going to trigger because the injustice in you wants to go cause damage. Right? I said, I need you not to react, because if something comes out of this woman today, it's gonna be choking. That's why it's manifesting, and it's looking for air, which is equivalent to it's looking for a belief. It needs you to be afraid so it can stay. But if you're not afraid, it's going to bail, because it actually has no power. Because if somebody has all power and authority, somebody else has none. Right? Perfect. So I am looking at her, and I said, all right, and so here it comes. I said, Father, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive Gary. And she starts going like this. And I get really happy because it's coming out. They start going like this. And she's now manifesting, so she is now offering her own, whatever that's going on, and I have to get them drunk. I have to get them back in love. I have to get them not freaking out by this thing, so they need to be. So I'm going like this over there, and they're just not that far away. And I'm like, hey, look at me. And I just, drink him, like this. And I'm just trying to make them laugh. I'm like, put on the armor of God. Just put it on. And so they're starting to laugh. They start to get drunk. You feel the presence of God, and they just get whacked out, which is perfect. And so now I said, I'm telling Mary, I said, Mary's a little 10-year-old girl stuck in this body. Yeah? I said, Mary, you're doing an amazing job. I am so proud of you. I don't need to talk to the demon because we don't talk. The only airtime that thing got was when it manifested, and that's all it got. It's already taking enough. It's not going to take any more of my time. Yeah? So, you're doing great, Mary. Mary, you can do this. So I'm giving love on to Mary. Mary, you're doing great. We can do this. Take a deep breath. I forgive. I forgive. Gary. Phew, thing leaves like that. Yeah? We go all the way up. All we forgive everybody. This is awesome. We're going smooth. It's going fast. I'm like, this is great. I'm not in a rush, but this is great. And before we forgive herself, I say, Mary, what's going on? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? This is going to tell me if we need to go to a different direction, or this is going to tell me we're all good to go. Does it make sense? So she goes, well, I'm at a beach. I'm like, really? I'm like, who's with you? She goes, my whole family. Awesome. I kind of already know where this is going. I said, are you by yourself or is there other people? She's like, no, there's people far away, and they're playing in the water. I'm like, are they happy or are they mad? It's like, nope, they're happy. I'm like, good. Who else is around you? She said, hold on, I'll check. She's like, oh, it's Jesus. I'm like, describe him to me. Every time I've seen him, every time my friends have seen him, I'm like, hey, check out his hands. What does his hands look like? They have the holes? Perfect. I said, why don't you ask Jesus where you're at? She's like, okay, hold on. She's like, oh, I'm in heaven. I said, perfect. I said, so your family's with you? She said, yeah. I said, who? She said, my son and my daughter, the two kids that were murdered. And I said, how do they look? They keep laughing and kissing my cheeks. And I said, so they're not in pain? She's like, no. And she starts crying because she didn't realize her daughter knew Jesus. Can you imagine the closure this woman's getting right now? And so she hears Jesus go, oh, we met like a long time ago. And by the way, Jesus says this to her, and by the way, I never break my promise. Right? So I won't tell you the whole scenario. She gets major closure. She forgives herself to drop her off this whole falsehood of being a bad mom, and I should have, would have kept, stayed, and had I been there earlier, and had I told those kids, and all that stuff that she's carrying that's not hers, she dumps. I ask her how she's doing at the end, and she's yelling at me because she says it's too quiet. She's like, what the hell did you do to me? What'd you do to me? She's like, not. She's closer where Joel's at. I'm like, I didn't do anything. She's like, it's so quiet. And I'm like, you mean quiet where? She's like, quiet in here. Why is it so quiet? This woman is used to living life and moving in her nervous system, and she is calculated with eggshells versus walking on a red carpet her whole life. She has eggshelled her way through life, and her nervous system does not know what it's like to be in freedom. It has been moving around in the realm of fear. And now she's like this, and she literally was doing like, what did you do to me? She kept going like this. I thought I was ready to put on some like dance music, you know. She's like, she was doing this, and she's like, what happened? I'm like, oh, I know what you're experiencing. You're experiencing stillness. This is normal. Kidney stones stop, by the way. Come on, Jesus. She goes home, sees her husband, and he like closes the door on her because he doesn't know why this woman's at her house. And she knocks the, because she forgot she didn't have her keys. She knocks on the door again, opens up the door, and her husband didn't recognize her because of the amount of change that she's happened. And Romans 12, 2, right below 12, 1, it says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you think that happens? The experience that you have inside there with your association of your heart gets met with a different experience called truth. When you have a new experience with God, it overrides the old experience that you had on file. In my community at home, with my journey, I'm going to end here. Because I'm going to do stuff. In my community at home, we have a bunch of people from Bethel. I co-lead a home group. We have about 50 people. It's almost like a church. It's pretty cool. And because I've been so thrashed by men, I have been now aggressive since I've left Reading with Holy Spirit on busting the things in my heart that would normally try to bust me. Because Proverbs 4:23 says to guard your heart with due diligence, because out of it flows all the issues of life. This is why Jesus goes in your heart and not your kneecap and not your eyebrow. He, Mr. Life, the way and the truth goes where? Right where the place of life begins. And heaven comes to earth by coming through your heart and out of your mouth. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and you co-create just like he does. Can you imagine the man who is called the creator? He can't just say whatever he wants because something gets created. He can't go, oh, ups, oh, dang it. I don't know what to call it. Oops and What are we going to name it? What do you want to name it, Michael? I don't know. Oops and That's good. We'll just call it like that. He can't. This is why your words are so powerful. This is why life and death hangs out on your tongue. And we don't have to fulfill our own self-judgmental prophecies anymore. We don't have to say it's never going to get better. We don't have to say it's always like this. It's just because I'm from this nationality. Oh, it's just my culture. Oh, I'm just stupid. We don't have to echo the lie that's actually freaking out inside of us because a lion's staring there, growling its teeth. We don't have to. You're that powerful. Here's what happens when I feel a trigger happening. First of all, I have a core value amongst a lot of my core values in my heart. One of them is this. My heart does not shut down for nobody or anything. The heart is not designed to shut down. When you shut it down, you're shutting part of you down, and you're also stopping temporarily the experience of unconditional love running through your system. That's the difference between guarding your heart and self-protecting your heart. So we don't self-protect our heart because out of it flows all the issues of life. We guard it. And guard it means I have boundaries. Guard it means, have you looked at me? I am flipping beautiful. And I just don't let your poop get smeared on my face and call it makeup. Don't pee in my leg and say that it's raining. Oh, sorry. Sorry, what you're doing? You're yelling at me? That's no fun. You totally get to do that. My ears actually are not open for yelling. They actually only work with just very healthy, honoring conversation. You want to try it again? We could do take two. Take two. Okay, go. Oh, you don't want to? No problem. You want to come back in a week? Some of you guys think I'm making this up like it's a script, like it's a movie. It's actually possible. This is, what do you think, how restoring the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons back to the fathers, we get to honor your father and mother and honor yourself. We get to honor the creation of the temple that's within us, and we do not have to let anything that's unholy, unjust, or unloving come near us. In fact, when you start to change your belief inside you, you change the fragrance on you, and it begins to repel things that normally would come thrash you and attract the things of heaven that are supposed to become upon you. So you're going to get triggered the most in relationships. You're going to get triggered the most in family on purpose. The Father has designed this geniusly. You do not have a bad family. You have a family that's being invited to experience the wholeness of love that Jesus paid for. You do not have a schizophrenic family. You don't have any form of family other than the family of heaven. And I'm not shaming anybody that's ever said anything otherwise. I've totally been there, and I'm being renewed in new places every day. So my dad passed away in 2008, and I got to walk him through forgiveness and confirm he was saved on his deathbed. That was amazing. Why was I able to do that? I was able to do that because I had nothing inside me going like this and wanting to get vendetta on something. Everything about me wanted to have compassion. It's amazing that when miracles happened, Jesus had what? Compassion. Now I have a new dad, and my mom sort of, this is not throwing her under the bus, it's just a byproduct when you don't get things healed in your heart and you don't get things sorted out. My mom kind of remarried my dad that passed away in some aspects. Guess who triggered like a champion when he came around? Guess who almost didn't go up to the wedding? Guess who was told over the phone that he's going to be my authority when he becomes my father? Oh, that felt great. That went down like a rat sandwich. Is there anything else loving you would like to tell me? Just last month, I publicly, in a meeting, the first meeting he's ever seen me in, I said, this is my mother and this is my father. The Holy Spirit told me 10 minutes prior to that, there's no stepfathers in heaven. And there's no stepmothers in heaven. Woo! And so I went, if you want to restore his heart, Nicholas, start calling him a father, because he's never been called that by anybody in his life. And it's his father that's thrashed him. So you have two options. You can be the change maker, and you can be the revelator, and you can be the life restorer, or you can be the abilitator, the enabler that causes this thing to stay. Which would you like to do? So every single day in our community, we are practicing this. I have a best friend named Jesse Skinner, and Jesse triggers me like no other. And I trigger him like no other. And we have come up with a system, and you may want to try this out. Because man, for myself, and basically wherever yourself has been, the person or the thing that's thrashed you the most, you could become aggressive at busting that the fastest. So we'll be in conversation, and he'll say something, and my brain will go, oh my gosh, that's so stupid. How does he not know this? And judgment is just flying out of nowhere. When I start to feel the sweetness of my heart beginning to shut down by him because he's a man who I'm calling my best friend, which means the best version of me is going to come out around him because he's my best friend. That means he's going to be, and I've put him in places in my heart that calls for trust, right? He is located in places of trust, and so he's going to trigger places of pain that are ready to get renewed. And so when he's doing something and I'm feeling myself getting triggered, I now do this. You can have your own smile. This is my face. He's talking to me, and I'll raise my hands, and I'll stick them up, and I'll go. This is an amazing stopper of conversation. Because he is in the middle of his speech, and he has no idea he's triggering me, but everything about me is telling me he's a threat. The problem with that thinking is Jesus isn't a threatened by anybody. He did not walk around going, oh, prostitute, Jezebel, ah! He didn't do that. Who the heck got triggered by Jesus? The demonic. Who flopped on the fish on the ground like a fish? The demonic did. They freaked. A legion of demons started talking first, not him. Get me away from you. I am freaked out by you. So what's happening is there's an area in my heart, and my heart knows beyond anything else, it's to love God with all of it. And when all of it's not loving it, it's going to tell me. Has anybody farted in this room? This is getting too serious. Let's just talk about fart jokes for a second. I am sweating up here, the amount of seriousness in this room. Everybody felt when a fart was coming. Okay, you don't have to admit. I don't need to see your hands and pray for you. Has anybody felt wind blowing outside? There's two types of winds, an outside and an inside. You're going to feel them. You know when you're hungry, you know when you're tired, you know when you need to have a drink, your body tells you. Just like when he or she needs love, guess who's going to tell you? Your heart will. And it's not a demon going like, doing a tap dance on your head. It is your heart going, hey, I'm thirsty. Let's go get some love. So I have my hand raised and I go, bro, I am so afraid of you loving me right now. The first time I did it, he almost crapped his pants. He was like, I don't know what you're doing. That's a weird face. I should back away. What should I do? But I told him, I am going to bust the thing. I'm going to confess it out right now before it has a chance to do anything in my heart. So now we have a system in place. When the hands go up and the smile awkwardly comes out, he goes, bro, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And I'll say sometimes, I have no idea. Right now in this place, I don't know what's happening. I just forgot who I was. I don't know what we're talking about. And I'm scared. Great. Let me tell you who you are. You're Nicholas. You have a heart for a father. You're very sensitive to love. And you should know when something is off in your heart because that's who you are. Do you need a hug? I'm like, yes. And he hugs me. All of our friends do that. You should see, it's like, if you're watching us like a movie, we're all differently going like, you know, with our hands up. It's funny. Some people are interesting because they're like scared of freedom. And they've gotten so used to living with the pain, they can't imagine what it means to be free. Can I get both of you guys to come up, you and Noah? Yeah. What I want to do is I want to pray with you guys, and I want to walk through some things. And some of this may not apply to everybody, and I understand. I'm not assuming everybody has a heart issue in here. I'm not assuming everybody has issues at all. But if there's one person that gets this today, genius. Fantastic. It's that other person that's now a part of our family, right? Because we have a goal and we have a destiny of being the brightest people group on the planet on the Sunshine Coast, do we not? We have a goal and a mandate from heaven to be the freest, the most liberated, the most whole, the most understood, and the most known people, the body of Christ does. We all have a need inside of us, a core need that says, I need to be seen, I need to be known, and I need to be understood. And when that need is not met with its proper source, it will go find another way to get it. It will go into fight or flight if it has to stay alive. Being made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, you don't have to you don't have to be powerless. It's in fact, it's never an option with Jesus. Love is responsible for including you and involving you with itself. So what I want to do, I'm going to walk you through prayers. We're going to break off some things, and we're going to get attached to some things that's already inside you. We don't have to pray for the kingdom of God to come. It's here, guys. We don't have to pray to get more whole because the whole version of you is behind some rubble, and it's going like that, saying, get me the heck out of here. And I don't know who this thing is, but it's not you. And I'm going to teach you, and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, it's my job to lead you into all truth. So if you don't know how to respond to this, no problem. Easy fix. Just grab my hand. I'm going to lead you into all truth right now. You feel that right there. So I want everybody to have their hands out just on their laps. And everybody with their eyes closed. We're going to honor your heart right now. We're going to honor your heart because, you were paid for a reason. That means you must have been worth it at some point. And he didn't buy you on sale. So he wants all of you. And there's no more of this conversation about less of me and more of him, because if he didn't want less of you, he wouldn't have had you to begin with. So he wants all of you and all of him involved together. Okay? So I'm going to pray for a sec, and then I'm going to walk you through it. You're just going to repeat after me. Thank you, unconditional love, for being in this room. No, I'll pray this. Hold on. Thank you, unconditional love, for being in this room. Thank you, Father, for the angels in this room. Thanks for your presence that's knocking at the doors that have been in despair, frustration, and being held up and captive. I thank you there's a mandate over every single person and myself in this room to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. I want you to say, Father, right now, you don't have to be quiet. It's okay. We can just do it all together. I choose to forgive myself. On the count of three, I want you to say your name. One, two, three. I want you to say, I forgive you. And I release you. For every mistake that you've made, every mess that you've made, every bad choice, and every regret, self, you are forgiven and you are released. I want you to say, body, I am so sorry for stressing you out. That's good. I'm sorry for not loving you. I'm sorry if I've compared myself to you. I'm sorry for ignoring you. Body, will you forgive me? I want you to say heart. I want you to say hi, heart. Yeah, that's good. Say heart. I am so sorry for shutting you down. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I'm sorry for letting people steal from you. And I'm sorry for not giving you the voice you need. Heart, will you forgive me? Yeah, good, 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 good. Good. Let's do this. Say, Father, all the judgments I've made against leadership, church, family, and you and me, I renounce them all right now. And I break their power in Jesus' name. Great. I want you to say, fear, you've helped me. And you've been my friend. But I just found out you're not my friend. We are getting a divorce right now. You are to leave my spirit, my soul, and my body. We are not being intimate anymore. Shame and guilt, you've also been my friend. But I also just found out you're not my friend. Shame, you've stopped me from being me. And I don't want you anymore. Both of you are released. I cancel and break every agreement with you. In Jesus Christ's name. Good, we're doing one more. You guys are doing great. Say, Jesus, every person that's been in your spot, in my heart, that's had more influence in my life than you have, I'm kicking them out right now. They're not going to be in my God spot anymore. Jesus, will you please come back and sit down? I'm sorry. You guys are doing good. Just sit there for a sec. You're doing great. I'm going to pray for you now. I just want you to stay there. Father, I declare everything that's been stolen, lost, broken, and removed over everybody's household to be returned right now in Jesus Christ's name. I declare the authority over every person's voice about their opinions and their dreams and their desires for the volume to raise back up to its normal status. Where nobody is ever ashamed about who they are ever again. And that the lifestyle of forgiveness and really the lifestyle of loving ourselves is far more dominant than anything else we know. Wow. And I declare that you guys, you all are foreigners to fear. Ha. You're foreign to every form of belief systems that thing communicates. Though you may feel it, you will never fear it again. I declare over your circulatory systems for blood circulation and sleep, I just see like sleeping patterns being completely thrown off. I declare peace in your homes, that your homes are homes of peace. They're homes of grace. They're homes of mercy. They're homes of joy, homes of love. Wow. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad, that everybody's relationship's about to get real personal. Thanks for new personal, intimate connections with you. I command backs to be healed right now. Yeah.
Put a seal on it, Lord God. Put a seal on our mouths that we are aware that what comes out is life and blessing and goodness and wholeness and health, that we will not revert to old habits, old patterns. No, in Jesus' name. Life and not death, blessing and not cursing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom and light and liberty. Thank you, Jesus. I invite any of you that want to just remain to continue soaking for a moment. I know some of you need to make a move, but carry this reality with you. This is something the Lord has done for us today, reminded us of and drawn us in deeper today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A watershed moment today for many of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The prophetic team will be up here ministering to my right. If you want further prayer for healing and help of any kind, come up here to the left and receive prayer. But be so conscious of the power resident within you, Jesus himself, whose heart, whose passion, whose cry, to speak out goodness and blessing and life wherever you carry him. And you are free. Some of you are going to express that freedom in different ways. Some of you are going to learn to dance for the first time. Some of you are going to move in a different way than you have. Some of you are going to stand up straighter. Some of you are going to see colors brighter. Some of you are going to speak release and forgiveness. Some of you are going to sing and shout louder than you've ever done before. Some of you are going to find a way to communicate the goodness of God in ways you've never done before. You're going to believe good things of yourself because of He who resides within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Intimidation is gone. Fear gone. Reticence gone. Uncertainty gone. A new boldness to speak to strangers about just how good God is. The lid's coming off. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To live as you've never lived before. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, wholeness. Bless you guys.